So this morning, I want to preach a message of encouragement. We try to do this in every church, but I can think of no place more where I want to do it than here in my home church. Oh, man, I was so nervous wanting to get started, I completely forgot to point out. I have my mom here with me this morning in service. I don't know if you want to wave, Mom, Valerie Schneider. I've nominated her for sainthood. If you all could add your votes to that, how she put up with me, I have no idea. But my mom is awesome. I also have my niece here with me, April's daughter. If you're going to raise your hand, Bethany. And then her daughter is also, is she in the kids' church program? Awesome. So maybe you'll get a chance to talk to them afterwards. All right. So I want to talk to you guys this morning about the mission of God. I think that sometimes we can make a mistake when we think of missions as something that we do out there, like in another country, another place. The mission of God is global. It is all-encompassing. It begins right where we're at and then goes out in every direction from there. It encompasses every single person who's alive on the planet today. Sometimes we'll refer to something called the Great Commission. How many of you know what the Great Commission is? Okay, quite a few, some don't. How many of you know where we find the Great Commission in Scripture? Okay, so this next image here, we're going to see some of those places. The most maybe well-known is Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is speaking right before he goes back up into heaven, and he says this. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In this case, nations refers to people groups, not just geographical nations, but any group of people. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, the key part of that is in verse 19, and this phrase, what is the command in this phrase? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What is the command in this sentence? You don't get the answer. You already know. All right. Okay, how many think it's go? Raise your hand. How many think it's something else? Raise your hand. You are correct. Okay, so let's look at it this way. Go is what we call a present progressive. The scripture is literally saying, as you are going, as you're going to work, as you're going to school, as you're going to sports, as you're going to the supermarket, as you're going to talk to your neighbor, everywhere you're at, everywhere you're going, as you are going, and then the command is this, make disciples. That's the key thing. God doesn't have to command us to go. We're already going. He commands us to make disciples, all right? Let's look at one more verse here from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Super well-known verse. Jesus, again, speaking to disciples shortly before ascending into heaven, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I mean, who doesn't want more power, right? Like, we're all like, yeah, God, give me the power. I remember as a new believer, we're over in the gym. This didn't exist back then. And I'm sitting in the gym, and I'm hearing this verse for the first time. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes by. I'm like, power, yeah, that sounds awesome. I want some power. Now, I had no idea what the power was for, how it was going to show up, anything. And then the rest of this verse tells us the purpose of that power. And he says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Right, this present progressive, as you're going, you're telling people about me everywhere. He says, in Jerusalem, where they were at that moment, throughout Judea, their countryside, their people group, in Samaria, crossing over into another people group, and to the ends of the earth. Now, there's two different ways of looking at this verse, and I'll show you one. The first one is erroneous. And that's that this incorrect interpretation is that the mission advances sequentially. First, we have to win Jerusalem. When Jerusalem is totally won, then we'll move on to Judea. When we've won everybody in Judea, then we'll move on to Samaria, and eventually we'll get to the ends of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I don't have this on the PowerPoint, but just follow with me here. And it says that in Jerusalem at that time, there were people from all the nations around them. And they all heard the apostles speaking in their own language, speaking in tongues. They heard them speaking in the tongues of Medes and Persians and Edomites and Egyptians and Romans and Greeks and fill in the blank. And then those people received Jesus as Savior, as Lord, as Messiah. It says over 3,000 were saved that day, and they did not stay in Jerusalem. They came to visit for a big religious celebration, and then they went home. They took the gospel with them as they went. The correct interpretation should be as this. It's simultaneous. As we're reaching our Jerusalem, we're also reaching Judea, and we're also reaching Samaria, and we're also reaching all the way to the ends of the earth. Your Jerusalem is right here. It's where you live. It's where you work. It's where you go to school. It's where you have your time off and you go play sports or have your hobby. Wherever you're at, wherever you're going, that's your Jerusalem. And at the same time, we're helping out with others who are doing the same thing, taking the message of God's love and forgiveness of sins, and they're going a little bit farther. They're in other places. They're at the Union Gospel Mission, or they're at Teen Challenge, or they're at Fill in the Blank. And then we're even taking it farther out into the world. Pastor Darth, how many missionaries, global partners, does the church support? Do you know off the top of your head? Holy cow. So 50 different people and or organizations that are filling in those spots. Some are doing it locally, some are doing it farther out, and some are doing it even way out. You are doing the same thing through your prayers and through your intercession, but as you are going is right here. This is your mission field. When I came to the Lord, I was going into my junior year of high school. Wenatchee High School, go Panthers. And I was like, I got to reach my friends. Like, they're all going to hell. I mean, we were going to hell as fast as we could. And I was like, I got to do something to try to reach them. And then later on, when God called me into the ministry, and God sends me over to Othello. And by the way, the church helped with that also. I thought, when they sent me out, the church in Othello said, we can't pay you anything, but we want you to come and be our youth pastor. And I knew that is where God wanted me. And I said, I'm going. Let's go. I don't know how it's all going to work, but God is going to sort it out. And Pastor Jerry said, hey, some people have given some funds to help you out. We're going to divvy it up over like a year or two. And it was a lifesaver. Let me tell you, it helped me to be able to stay in Othello and keep going. As the church grew, then they were able to pay me a little bit. But the idea is that I wanted to reach every person possible in Othello. And then later, where we were at in Yakima. And then later on the other side of the mountains in Battleground. The mission has always been the same. We all do the mission of God right where we're at. And through our prayers and intercession, through our giving, we're also doing it around the world. How many have two arms? Raise up both your arms. How many of you don't need two arms? You're like, you know, I can get along with one. I'm just going to cut my left one off and donate it to science. You know, somebody who needs an arm, I'll give it to him. Anybody want to volunteer to give up an arm? Only my son. I don't know. He's very excited. Whatever I say, he raises his hand. How many of you want to wash the dishes when we get home? Yeah. No? Oh, okay. The idea is this. One arm is the local outreach, the local mission of God. The other arm is the global outreach. We don't do just one or the other. We all do both. And that's when we're most powerful. That's when we're most effective. And so as we're praying for the global mission of God, and as we're giving to the global mission of God, and thank you for that, not just for us, but for everybody else, we are also doing the local mission of God. I can tell you this, if we don't, two things will happen, and it's inevitable. One, there are going to be a whole bunch of people here in the local area who don't hear the message, and they don't spend eternity with us in heaven. And two, if we don't do it for a long enough period of time, this body of believers will cease to exist. We'll all just kind of get older and go home to be with the Lord, and there'll be no new inflow of fresh blood of new people coming to the Lord. Does that make sense? So for both reasons, it's important, but primarily it's important because we want our family, we want our friends, we want our neighbors, we want our coworkers, our classmates to get right with God. Somebody kept witnessing to me at a neighbor down the street, Dan Giles, who would invite me to come with him to youth group, but I would laugh at him. I would say, I don't want anything to do with God or church, or I don't want to go to that thing, whatever, man. And I blew him off and blew him off and blew him off. And I had other friends at school who would try their best to witness to me. And I had people who were praying for me, nobody more than my mom and my dad. And it was a whole team effort how God used all the different pieces coming together to finally break me down and bring me to a point where I was ready to turn my life completely over to God. I was like, I'm not doing this half-hearted. It's like you're all in or you're not in, right? And so God broke me to the point where I went all in, but it was because somebody from this church kept inviting me and praying for me and loving me and hanging out with me and never gave up, even though I rejected him over and over and over again. How many of you like to be rejected? Well, not even Timothy raised his hand. That's okay. No, nobody likes that. But we have to get beyond ourselves. I was in a church recently where the youth pastor, former youth pastor, was preaching, and she said, people are so easily offended these days. We're always afraid of offending somebody. I got news for you. You offended five people just on the way to church with your driving or how you parked or you didn't greet them when you came in. She goes, people are just offended these days over everything. He goes, you got to stop worrying about it. You got to tell them about God and how much he loves them, how he wants to forgive them. He wants to invite them into his family. Don't worry about if they're going to be offended with you. They're already offended. Just keep going. Now, here's what I want to really get down to real quick as we end. Sometimes we think it's somebody else's job, right? We go, well, Pastor Darth. Pastor Darth is the pastor church, you know. Well, Pastor Dan. Well, Pastor Annie. All these guys, these are our team. It's up to them to reach Wenatchee Valley, right? Let's take a look and see what happens in Scripture. If we jump ahead here, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. After the death of Stephen, it says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers, just the common, every ordinary day people, right, all of us here, except the apostles, the leaders, were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Everybody fled. Everybody had to get out of town. That sounds like pretty dark days, doesn't it? How horrible would it be if some kind of a persecution came to Wenatchee that was so strong that we had to flee? We had to get out of town. We had to go to, oh, Lord forbid, Yakima or Moses Lake or, you know, all these different places. And I would think, I would feel dejected. I would feel scared. I would feel confused. Like, God, where are you at? I thought you were with us. I thought you were blessing us. With all these me, we tend to look at ourselves. But what did these new believers do? Remember, they're brand new in the Lord. And what does God do through them? Verse 4. It says, but the believers, not the leaders, not the pastors, the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. They just got driven out of town. They just fled for their lives. But they were so all in with this Savior, with the Messiah, with the Lord, the one who forgave them, the one who loves them. They're like, we can't stop talking to people. We were talking to everybody in Jerusalem. Now we're going to talk to them in Samaria. We're going to talk to them in every place we're at. And they kept reaching out. That should be our heart, right? That we don't rely on someone else to do it. We thank God for the team around us, but we have to look at it personally. And we have to say, it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to talk to my neighbor, to talk to my coworker, to talk to the classmate who sits next to me or has a locker next to me. Then that we can never delegate that to somebody else. I also have another thought that might blow your mind. Most people don't want to hear what a pastor has to say outside of the church. Outside of the church. let me qualify that. Inside the church, we love our pastors. We're like, Pastor, talk to me. What's going on? What do I need to know? But outside the church, this day and age, leadership in a church has very little influence in our community. And especially some of the people around us. You know who has influence in your community of friends, of family, of neighbors? You do. They go, well, I know that guy, or I know that lady, and they're just a normal, everyday person like me. And so if God could work in their life, if God could do something in their life, then maybe God could do something in my life. And they will receive it from you much more than they might receive it from any other person. Not somebody on TV, not somebody on the radio, not a church leader. They need to hear it from you, from us. God doesn't want to send out 3 or 4 people from Wenatchee First Assembly into the harvest field. He wants to send out everybody from Wenatchee First Assembly into the harvest field. So I want to do this. I want to close with this question. Who does God want you to reach? I thank God for Dan Giles. I thank God that Dan prayed for me and that Dan invited me and that Dan never gave up. Even though I laughed in his face, even though I turned him down over and over and over again. For 3 years, he just doggedly kept after me. And I thank God for Dan and for people like Dan in my life. And God wants you to be that person. Who is it that God has put in your life that God wants you to reach? I want everyone just to close your eyes for a minute. Just begin to pray. I also want to do this just real quick. If you're here this morning and maybe this is new to you, or maybe you're thinking, I've never gone all in with God. I've never asked God to really, truly forgive me and turn my life over to him. There's no better time than right now. Bible says we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Salvation is for today. So if you're here in this morning and you're not right with God, nobody looking around. God is looking. God knows. If that's you and you want to get right with God, I just want you to raise your hand high towards God. I want you to raise your hand high towards heaven. Yep. Anybody else? All right. We're going to pray and just say, God, thank you for loving me. Yep. Awesome. You're not alone. Awesome. And we're going to pray and say, God, I pray that you would forgive me, wash all that junk out of my life. God, I don't know how you do it. I don't know why you do it, but thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for liking me. Bring me into your family. God, make me part of your family, part of your kingdom. And we're going to pray for you and that God would come into your life and begin to wash out that junk, would forgive you of everything, and that you would just fully commit. Doesn't mean you're perfect. I was so far from perfect. Still am. But God is constantly working on us, right? And then we're also going to, all of us, I want us to pray. God, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to reach? Who is my local mission field? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a whoever, fill in the blank. But God is going to put a name in your mind, put a face in your mind, and then let's pray for that person. Let's go after them. Let's not leave them to just fall into hell. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, God, for those who raise their hand, Lord, you know their hearts. You know exactly where they're at. There's no secrets. God, they said, I'm not right with God, and I need to get right with God this morning. Lord, thank you that you love us. God, that you like us, that you choose us, Lord. God, thank you for your forgiveness and your kindness, your goodness towards us. God, we pray that you would just wash away all of the sin. God, wash away all the junk, God, in their life. God, just wipe the board clean. Just give them a fresh start, a do-over with you, Lord. It feels so good to be forgiven. It feels so good to be loved, Lord. But, Lord, your word also says you're not just Savior, you're also Lord. God, that you run our life now, God. We want to go all in. We want to say, God, no one loves me like you love me. No one does for me what you do. There's no one else like you, God. I follow you. Jesus never said, pray the sinner's prayer. He said, follow me. God, we go all in with you today, God, and we follow you with our whole heart. God, we're not perfect when we make mistakes. God, we ask you for forgiveness. We say, God, teach me, help me, Help me to grow up in you. Help me to mature. Help me, God, help each one of us, Lord. Help us reach the people around us who are not right with you. God, put a name, a face in our mind, Lord, and even beginning right now, Lord, we want to pray for, we want to intercede for that person. God, go get them. Holy Spirit, go get them. Show them, God, that they're not right with you. Show them what awaits them in the future, God. Put an unsettledness, an uncontentedness within them that says there's got to be more to life than this. God, I pray that you would give us divine appointments, not just with those people, but with anybody, God. While we're standing in line at the checkout counter, God, when we're watching a game, whatever it might be, Lord, I pray you would put divine appointments where people would start talking to us, maybe ask questions, and we could begin steering them towards you, Lord. God, help us to find ways to love people, to serve people, to bless people. And then when they go, why? Why are you doing it? Why are you so good to me? You say, because God loves you. God loves me, God forgave me, and God wants to do the same thing for you. God, I pray you would work through each one of us, Lord. Each one of us, Lord. God, do fantastic things here in the valley, Lord. God, thank you for Pastor Darth, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Dan. Thank you for Pastor Annie, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to bless the leadership team, Lord. But I pray you would also bless each one of us, God. We would all be your hands and feet, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.